It's known as the butterfly effect. The possibility that a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil could bring about a tornado in Texas. That something as quiet as a butterfly in flight could have an impact on a much, much larger scale and wider range. Though that's not exactly how scientists talk about it. It's perfect for us and our discussion of wings today. We'll be moved to feel the impact of two beautiful butterflies who have been in that circular dance butterflies do for a long, long time. In and through their human relationship of love and mutual respect and support, who knows how many lives they've touched in their own journeys, near and far, family, friends, and students, touching us too, those of us who will hear this lovely musical tribute to their enduring partnership. They are Jack and Patty DeBellis of the Lehigh Valley, now marking their 50th wedding anniversary with this piece titled Two Butterflies by composer Larry Lipkus. And if we are open to Emily Dickinson's way of saying it, such butterflies can even touch the sky, soaring through the vault of heaven, through the firmament, in their reach. The poem is one of the influences for this musical work, and it is one of the pieces by Larry Lipkus on a program this Sunday afternoon in Bethlehem. The set of three pieces by Dr. Lipkus opens with a different kind of winged adventure. It soars between the heavens and the earth too, but the love at its core is a distorted love, based as it is on a Hebrew legend about a band of rebel angels. In between on the program, a feeling of the innocence of youth in a delightful dance, a piece titled simply Summer Dance. We learn that Larry Lipkus has written over 80 works for orchestra, choir, chamber ensembles, and piano. He has composed several concertos based on characters from the Commedia dell'arte, which have been performed by the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Houston Symphony, and Lehigh Valley Chamber Orchestra. His two chamber operas, Peronelle and Simonetta, are based on the lives and loves of two medieval Renaissance artistic luminaries, Guillaume de Machaut and Sandro Botticelli. Dr. Lipkus is composer in residence and professor of music at Moravian College in Bethlehem, where he teaches composition, music theory, and contemporary music. He is also composition competition coordinator for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, and in that capacity, he spearheaded the orchestra's Enigma Variations project in 2017, and Pictures and an Exhibition 2018. He also performs and records with the Baltimore Consort, an internationally acclaimed ensemble specializing in popular music of the Renaissance. The group has made 17 recordings and tours nationally and internationally. Dr. Lipkus plays viola da gamba and a variety of Renaissance winds with the ensemble. We're invited to an afternoon of contrasts as part of the second Sunday concert series at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Lehigh Valley this Sunday, March 10th, for a performance featuring the DeMarina Trio. We had a chance to speak by phone with Larry Lipkus about the performance and his works to be featured.
The DeMarina Trio is one of my favorite chamber groups. I've written for them several times, and like Satori, they are composed of mostly local musicians who are wonderful, good friends, and also outstanding players, so it's a real joy to be able to write for them, and they're colleagues of mine at Moravian College as well. So I'm having them play, I think, for the second or third time on the second Sunday concert series at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Bethlehem, and that's Sunday, March 10th at 3 o'clock. And they love to play contemporary music, and the program is mostly contemporary, although they're beginning with a piece by Franz Schubert, which is actually a transcription of a piano four-hands piece that a friend of theirs, the composer Steve Reistetter, made. So you get a little bit of taste of the 19th century before we plunge into the 20th and 21st centuries. So that opens the program, and then there are three pieces of mine that I either wrote originally for them or arranged for the DeMarinas. And then the first half is going to end with a piece by James Niblock called Medieval Suite. And he just passed away, I think, at the ripe old age of about 100. So that's a work, a very, very attractive piece for, again, clarinet, violin, and piano. The main piece on the program, the longest piece and the most famous piece, is at the beginning of the second half, and that is Bartok's Contrasts that he wrote in 1938 for Benny Goodman. And that's a really wonderful piece with the very exciting dance movements on either end, very lively one at the very end. So it's a very attractive, very challenging piece, but it's kind of a staple in chamber music literature of the 20th century. And the program ends with a really fun piece called The Klezmer's Wedding by Cyril Irving Glick, who is really borrowing a lot from the klezmer tradition of Eastern European Jewish folk music. And it's a very lively, wild affair with a very high clarinet playing, which is typical of the klezmer tradition. So it's a program that, while the great majority of it is 20th and 21st century music, is very attractive and accessible, I think, for audiences.
Now, to your music, you've taken a story, a myth, and you've given it musical form or evoking it musically. Introduce us to the Rebel Angel.
Well, Rebel Angel is kind of interesting. This piece got its start about 30 years ago when I read a novel by Robertson Davies called Rebel Angels. And that novel is about kind of academic hijinks at a Canadian college, and my piece has nothing to do with that, but it got me thinking about what exactly is a rebel angel and in different manifestations of that. And so I looked it up and I read a little bit about rebel angels, who are sometimes called fallen angels or black angels, and they're angels that have rebelled against God and against the heavens and have been kicked out of heaven, and then they come down to earth and engage with mortal women, creating a race of giants. And there are many different stories about the rebel angels. So this is one from the Book of Enoch, and it's also taken from a description of the Robert Graves, the author, has written about the Book of Enoch. It's called Hebrew Myths and the Book of Enoch. And according to his reading of it, a band of rebel angels comes to earth, and their intent is to reveal the secrets of heaven to mankind. And while they are so engaged, they acquire intimate knowledge of the pleasures and perils of mortal love. And then for this transgression, the angels were punished with eternal exile. And their leader, who is named Semyaza, repented and placed himself in the heavens, in the southern sky, between heaven and earth, head down, feet up, in the constellation known as Orion. So that's one version of the Orion story, one version of the rebel angel myth, and it's one that I found attractive and wanted to use for my composition. The original version was for clarinet, cello, and piano, and I did a revision of it for the DeMarina Trio of clarinet, violin, and piano. So there are three movements basically related to the three parts of the story. The first one is called Epiphany, and this is where there is a kind of a manifestation of these divine beings. And I basically portraying the mortals as on the clarinet and even bass clarinet, and the for the most part on the very, very high violin in this movement. And I was attracted to the sound of the bass clarinet and the very, very high violin playing the same melody four octaves apart. And so that's how the piece starts, and it's almost as though they kind of are locking eyes from a great distance. So we could listen to a little bit of that.
Thank you.
Then the second movement is called Love Dance, and this would be basically the angels now down on earth with a consummation of their relationship with the mortal women. So this is actually a very, very romantic movement. It's deliberately written in the style of maybe late 19th century Brahms or Dvorak, and it uses a little melody that we hear at the beginning where it's quite dissonant, and the angels like breaking through somehow and getting down to earth, and it's a kind of jarring sound, and then it gradually morphs into a very romantic interlude with the mortal women. So that's a kind of romantic movement. But it does not end well, as we know. So the rebel angels are banished, and Semyaza puts himself in the heavens, and so the last movement is called Transcendence. And this is really from the perspective of the angel who is in heaven, and he's not movable, he's just sort of transfixed there. And for this movement, I had Ina Izarevich, our violinist, actually play bowed crotales. So she's not playing the violin, but she's using her bow to bow on the edge of these bell-like sounds. They're metal discs that are very beautiful. They sound a little bit like crystal glasses. If you rub your fingers across a crystal glass, you get a very ethereal, harmonic-like sound. So that's what she's doing, and she's interacting with the clarinet, just playing long, long notes. It's almost like the memory of the angel is recalling his adventures on earth, but he really can't do anything else but just remember them. And in the background, the piano is playing just a series of sort of quick, star-like, ethereal sounds to sort of get the suggestion of heaven. So it's a kind of static movement to sort of represent the result of this relationship between the angels and the mortals. So it's a very kind of ethereal sound, which basically just fades away at the very end.
Thank you.
Oh, music of the spheres. I think when we go out tonight, if the sky is clear, Orion is still there, and I don't.
Yes, you
I think
sort of look at and now see him in a new context or new light.
That's just your first piece.
Well, another piece they're doing is another trio I wrote called Summer Dance, and this is a very different kind of piece. It has no particular story or program about it, just a mood. And I just want to create a kind of happy, carefree mood between the violin, clarinet, and piano. Originally, I wrote this for saxophone and violin and piano, but I rearranged it for the Di Marina Trio. And the interesting thing about this piece is it's in 7/8 meters, so it goes kind of 1-2-3, 1-2-1-2. The whole time, which gives it a little bit of a, you know, it's a rhythmic pattern which is a little hard to dance to, even though it's called summer dance. You'd have to kind of find a way to do it. But I still wanted to try to create a kind of charming, innocent mood where we just have two young people just having a nice time dancing gently on a summer's evening. That's the second piece, Summer Dance. And then the third piece is called Two Butterflies. And this was written for the 50th anniversary of some dear friends of mine, Jack and Patty DeBellis, who are retired professors of English and French at Lehigh and Muhlenberg, respectively. And they loved travel. They love literature. They love Mozart. And I tried to write a piece that would capture their essence. And they recommended a poem by Emily Dickinson called Two Butterflies. So I looked at that, and I thought I would just try to evoke the feeling of two butterflies kind of flitting around and then disappearing a little bit out of sight and then kind of connecting. And when they connect, they pull us into a very lyrical section, which morphs into a little recollection of a famous Mozart aria from Marriage of Figaro, called De Vieni Non Tardar, in Act 4, which is a beautiful aria sung by Susanna. And it's a love aria. And so the two butterflies kind of move into that world and then move back out into the world of the fluttering wings, and they disappear into the sky. So it's like the heavens are kind of, the butterflies are treating us to a little gift of Mozart before they fly away back and we lose sight of them. Thank you.
What a gift for them. And even though they've had a long 50-year relationship, it's that beauty and that lightness that they've maintained through that time together.
Well, that's right. Yes, I'm trying to evoke that. It's fun to try to evoke the personality of a friend in music. A lot of composers obviously have written music for friends, and it's always nice to know what the personality of the friend. I mean, the most famous example maybe would be Elgar's Enigma Variations, where he's characterizing his friends using the same melody, giving them each variation a different spin depending upon the friend and his or her quirks and personality. So I tried to do that with Jack and Patti DeBellis, and this is actually the first time it's performed publicly. We performed it at a little gathering at their house on their anniversary, and then I recorded it with the DeMarina Trio, but this is the first time it will be heard in a public setting. And it's a very warm, rich, loving relationship, and I'm very honored and proud to have them as dear friends. And so I think they will be at the concert, so maybe we'll have them stand up, and maybe I'll even have one of them recite the Emily Dickinson poem, which is a very lovely poem, and it is kind of basically, I think, expresses a little bit of what I'm trying to do, or I'm trying to express in my music what the poem says. If there's time, I could actually read the poem because it's very short.
Why don't you do that?
Two butterflies went out at noon and waltzed above a farm, then stepped straight through the firmament and rested on a beam, and then together bore away upon a shining sea, though never yet in any port their coming mentioned be. If spoken by the distant bird, if met in ether sea, by frigate or by merchantman, no donus was to me. So it's kind of a mysterious poem, a little ambiguous about these two butterflies that aren't really seen by anyone. They step into the firmament and they rest on a beam that's probably a sunbeam. So it's kind of a sort of a magical moment that we're supposed to imagine these butterflies. And people don't see them, but somehow we're aware of them. Are they real creatures or are they just ideas? We don't really know. It's really a beautiful poem, but it leaves us wondering about these butterflies. And so I have two very concrete butterflies to work with, Jack and Patti DeBellis. So I kind of put them in that role of people who are just flitting about the world. They're wonderful travelers. And when they do alight, they bring a lot of joy to whoever is with them.
Laura, let me ask you about writing for this set of instruments. What is the joy about these particular sonorities and working with them as you have here, just in general? You said you particularly were drawn to the sound of the bass clarinet and then the high violin and how that was an exciting sound to you as a composer. You're not talking about working with an orchestra, and you've done that as well.
Yes. Well, I do like color, and I like to treat sounds and timbre just as important, as very important elements, along with melody and harmony and rhythm. So I always try to think, what are some interesting things I can do with piano, with clarinet, with violin? So I'm not just writing a couple of lines of music that could be written for or played by anybody. So in that last movement, for example, where the violinist plays crotales, I also have the clarinet player, Deb Andrus, playing directly into the strings of the piano with the bell of the clarinet just inches away. And Martha Schrempel, the pianist, has depressed the pedal. So we hear a resonance that we would not normally hear if the clarinet is just playing out in front of the piano. So that sound, combined with the sound of the crotales, which has a long reverberation as well, does create the sound of great space. The reverberation of the clarinet and the reverberation of the crotales. And that was appropriate, I think, for the sound of the heavens. I wanted to create the sound of just a huge expanse of air. So that seemed to be a good way to do it. And no one's playing moving lines. They're just playing single notes that just resonate for long times. And the piano is just the twinkling stars in the background. So I really enjoy conceiving of different possibilities, different timbres that I can employ with my instruments. And I like this combination because it's an instrument from three different sections of the orchestra. You have one wind, one string, and the piano, of course, is technically a percussion instrument, but it also has strings. So that's also both a challenge and a joy. So I can combine the different sections of the orchestra with just having one representative from these sections.
Say you have a commission from a musician or musicians you know. Is there a sense that if you do know their work, that you have that sound in mind?
I do. I mean, I think of, because I know these musicians so well, I hear their sound as I'm writing for them. And it's not to say that other clarinets or other violins or pianos could not do the same job. Obviously, they could. They would have their own personality. But I do enjoy sort of imagining how these three players would play the music. And I know Debbie Andrus, for example, loves to play very fast high notes and is very, very adept at that. That's why the klezmer piece is really a good showpiece for her, as is the Bartok. So I did write some music for her that would allow her to do that, as well as writing some low, mellifluous music for the bass clarinet, because she can get a beautiful sound on that instrument as well. So, yes, just knowing the players, working with them, is a big help for a composer, so you're not just writing, you know, abstractly without thinking about who might perform it.
We just had a living, breathing playwright here, and the actor and the director for the play. And it always comes back to, well, if you're an actor and the director and you have access to the playwright, or if you're a musician and you have access to the composer, do you have dialogues with the players?
Oh, sure. I do. I always like to interact with them and get their opinions. Sometimes I might write something that they would perhaps want to change in some way. They might suggest a different bowing or maybe a different figure, and that we could talk about it. But I always enjoy, you know, working with them. I think that's very important, and just about every composer I know likes that experience of working with the performers. I think the performers that I know enjoy working with the composers. So I think I'm blessed to just know a lot of really fine musicians who enjoy playing contemporary music, and my music in particular.
Larry Lipkus, composer in residence and professor of music at Moravian College in Bethlehem. He teaches composition, music theory, and contemporary music there, and he's well known as a longtime member of the Baltimore Consort, an early music ensemble that we hear often on Early Bird's Sunday mornings on VIA. Dr. Lipkus is also the artistic director of the Second Sunday Concert Series at the Unitarian Universalist Church of the Lehigh Valley, and he is inviting us to a program titled An Afternoon of Contrasts, and it's this Sunday, March 10th at 3 in the afternoon, featuring the DiMarina Trio. And as we heard, there will be music of Cyril Erling Glick, The Klezmer's Wedding, Contrasts by Béla Bartók, James Niblock's Medieval Suite, and three pieces by Dr. Lipkus. Students are free, and the concert is this Sunday, March 10th at 3 in the second floor sanctuary, and that's at the Unitarian Universalist Church of the Lehigh Valley, 424 Center Street in Bethlehem. For more information on the web, concertseries.uucclvpa.org. concertseries.uucclvpa.org, and it's Sunday, March 10th at 3 in the afternoon at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Bethlehem at 3, and the church is located at 424 Center Street in Bethlehem. For more information online, concertseries.uucclvpa.org.